So welcome to the Scripture Memory Breakout Session. Psalm 1, 1-3 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." Did you notice that this is a description of a blessed man? It is a blessing to delight in God's word and to meditate on it, to think about it, to chew on it, to worship God for what it says, and to let it yield fruit in our lives. That's a blessing. And I just wanted to start there because some of us may have had experiences of scripture memory where it felt more like a burden or just something we just ought to do. And it just wasn't fun. It wasn't enjoyable. We feel very unsuccessful. And so for today, let's just try to set aside those experiences from the past that might have felt discouraging to you. And we're going to start by letting God's word itself help us cultivate a delight in God's word that will spur us on to want to memorize it as we talk about its benefits. Now, you have a place for taking notes in your booklet. It looks like this. It's behind the notes, the pages for encouragement under session 2. So that's our general outline. We're going to begin by talking together about why we might memorize scripture. Then we'll talk about some of the challenges. Then we'll take a little bit of time talking about what in scripture you might want to memorize. And then we'll look at the how. We'll try to give some practical suggestions to help us incorporate scripture memory into our lives on a regular basis and on an ongoing basis. So let's start by talking about some of the reasons why. So Kate is going to come up here, and as you share, or as I chime in things, she's going to try to jot those down, and she may not get all of them, but I just asked her to do that so that if you're a person who, like, gets obsessed with taking down everything that's said, you didn't hear it, no, I didn't get the reference, at least you can take a picture of the board when you're done and go back. And most of the references that I will talk about, you have as you have in your notes. So you can always go back and start looking at verses and figure out where we got that. Okay, so what are some reasons why we memorize scripture? Or why we might think we ought to or want to? Just shout them out.
To be blessed.
Okay. What are some of the blessings that come with memorizing scripture?
To have God's word in his mind.
Okay, so you can have God's word in your mind. That's good. What else?
So you don't sin against the Lord.
Okay. For some of us, that was maybe the first Bible verse we ever memorized, right? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. Haley.
In the midst of trials, ones that you're not prepared for, you're not necessarily gathering verses to help you with this trial. If it's unexpected, be it like a loss of a family member or something like that, those verses in your heart so that in like the midst of that trial and in the thick of it, you have those verses to kind of remind yourself and to say to yourself.
Yeah, that's great. So you're prepared for trials. Thanks for sharing that. Sue?
I was going to say the thing.
What she said? Okay.
Comfort.
Comfort. Great. What else?
It helps when you're witnessing to people, too, to be able to tell specifically where stuff is in the Bible.
Great, yeah, for witnessing.
To know the Lord and his character better.
Yes. To know God, to know his character.
To renew our minds.
Yes, so we renew our minds. Other thoughts? I'm just going to chime in with some other ones that are probably right on the tip of your tongue. Some of these we've already said. Maybe discerning lies and error, so you know what's true. for fighting. We talked about fighting sin. You know, I think it's notable in Mark 4 when Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan is tempting him. Jesus quoted specific scriptures in response, not just general truisms from scripture, but he gave specific answers from scripture. Encourage and counsel others. We talked about renewing your mind, worshiping. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. You need to know the truth if you're going to worship in truth. Prayer. A lot of the prayers we have recorded in Scripture include Scripture. The people who prayed in Scripture used Scripture to show them how to pray, and we can do the same thing. Obedience. He who has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. We can't obey what we don't know. And then it also allows us to meditate on the word, to obey the word, to worship, to delight in the word. All these things we've been talking about when our Bibles aren't available. Maybe at night, if you are persecuted for your faith and then you're in jail and you don't have a Bible available. When you're driving, when you're doing your housework. It's just so many times when having the word in your heart and in your mind makes it accessible in a way that your paper Bible or your app on your phone is not. Now, just to come at this question of why from a little bit different angle, we're still on the why, but now let's share what commands from Scripture or maybe examples in Scripture assume that we are going to have Scripture, at least some of Scripture memorized, or which would be much more difficult to obey if we didn't have any Scripture memorized. For example, when you talked about, I've hidden your word in my heart. It's hard to think about how would I actually have the word hidden in my heart without memorizing it. Does that make sense? If you think of other commands, the ways we're told to interact with God's word that would be really difficult to do if we didn't have at least some of Scripture memorized. Haley. It's hard to guard your heart with God's word if you don't know God's word. That's good. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. How do you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you if you don't have it memorized? So I want to kind of put these things out there because as you're reading your Bible, you're going to see more and more things that you think, oh, I really need to know God's word if I'm going to do that. How can I meditate on God's word day and night if I don't at least have some portions of God's word committed to memory? Renewing your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Approving what God's will is. Okay, Romans 12:2. Thank you. Isaiah 65:2 has a warning against following after our own thoughts, which I just think is really interesting. How can I not follow my own thoughts if I don't have God's thoughts at hand to replace them with? Isaiah 65:2. All right, again, just one more angle on this question of why. What does God's word tell us about his word in the Bible that would further strengthen us, not only in this sense of I really ought to memorize scripture and I need to memorize scripture, but even more than that, I want to memorize scripture. I want to know more of God's word so that I can meditate on it. What are some things that God's word tells us about itself that would strengthen us in that desire? The promises of God. Is that what you said? Yeah, yeah. The word is full of promises that can encourage our hearts.
It's enduring and unchanging.
What else can you learn and think about that doesn't change and will endure forever? Yeah, that, what a precious treasure we have in the word. Second Peter, yeah, everything we need for life and godliness and our knowledge of him, and God's word is where we come to know him, where he reveals himself.
Psalm 19:7 is perfect.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Let's everybody turn to Psalm 19 if you have your Bible.
What was that?
Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." Do you ever feel like your soul needs to be restored? God's word is God's tool for doing that. The second part of that verse says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Do you need wisdom? God's word is where that's found. And all of these phrases begin with a synonym for God's word, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. Verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Struggling to find joy? There's joy to be found in God's word. In fact, Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet Jeremiah said, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." The second part of verse 8 says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Tanya talked about that. "The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." Today's world, there's a lot of confusion about what's true. But when you know God's word, you have truth. You have unchanging truth, and you have eternal truth. Verse 10, "They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold." Now, notice that that is just a statement. That is not an opinion. That is a statement of truth. God's words are, they are more desirable than gold. They are more desirable than gold. That is just a categorically true statement. And so if we find ourselves lacking in desire for God's word, lacking in a desire even maybe to put out the hard work of trying to memorize it, we need to begin by going to the Lord and asking him to renew our minds to desire what's actually desirable. So many times we battle because we're actually desiring things that aren't desirable in and of themselves. But God's word is. And God will retrain our appetites to desire what is desirable as we go to him. And then finally, into verse 10 says, "Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb." Verse 11, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward." So there's so much good about God's word. I don't know if we've talked about Hebrews 4:12 yet. It's living and active. It judges our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us that it performs its work in those who believe. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the scriptures give the wisdom that's able to lead to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's worth sharing with those who aren't believers too. It's what gives the wisdom that leads to salvation. We saw in Psalm 1 that it brings forth fruit as we delight in it. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 talks about the cleansing power of the word. And Ephesians 6 calls it the sword of the Spirit. So we can go on and on. If I gave you guys a few minutes with your Bible, it probably wouldn't take you too long to come up with many, many more verses that tell you about how precious, how powerful, how sweet, how good, how eternal, how transformative God's word is. And so I just felt like we need to start there, because that's what we want any attempts, any efforts at scripture memory to be grounded in. And it's grounded in how precious this treasure is that we have. A couple of things I just want to highlight before we move on to talking about some of the challenges. And that is that memorization, we didn't find a command in Scripture that actually commands us to obey, or excuse me, that commands us to memorize Scripture. We don't find a command that says that in so many words. But as we did discuss, there are a lot of commands that would be very difficult to obey without having at least some Scripture memorized. I mean, you need to know what Scripture says in order to obey it. It's hard to think about how it could richly dwell within us, how we could hide it in our heart, how we could meditate on it day and night if we don't have at least some of it memorized. And then another point that I hope we don't miss is that memorizing Scripture itself, just the act of memorizing Scripture, is not the same thing as abiding in the Word or letting the Word richly dwell within you or having it hidden in your heart. And we know that because in Matthew 4, we see that the devil can memorize Scripture. And the Pharisees had large amounts of Scripture memorized. But Jesus said to them, "You do not have his word abiding in you." So they had it memorized, but it wasn't at home in them. It wasn't living and active in them. It wasn't directing how they thought, how they spoke, how they lived. It didn't have authority over them. And so memorization is very valuable, but we need to remember that it is a means to an end. It's a means to allowing us to interact with God more in his word. But it's very valuable because of what it allows us to do. But we need to be careful to keep it in its right place. It's a tool. It's not something that we should ever use as a source of self-righteousness, or to feel like just because we've memorized, we're done. You know, I can't just check that box. I memorized the verse. Now I'm good. We need to do with it what God's word tells us to do with it. Okay. Any questions or comments? Anything that you want to talk about with that before we move on to the next section? Okay. Now we'll talk about challenges. So maybe there's more thoughts on this. What makes Scripture memory challenging? Anything at all?
My memory.
Your memory? Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
It's not a one and done thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's not one and done. It requires ongoing effort, commitment. Haley. That's good. So how do you maintain the ones you've already learned? How do you have it? What kind of review system will help you keep remembering those that still learn new verses? Yeah, those are good.
Not having a plan.
Not having a plan. Yep, that makes it hard. What else?
Time.
It takes time. Is it, anybody ever struggled with it just because it's humbling? Because it's hard? You're like, man, what in the world? How come I still don't know this thing? I'm just not good at this. I've been there. Still there. The other side of it, anybody ever struggle with pride in Scripture memory? I mean, you get those three verses down, you're like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but, you know, my sinful heart will just find, I can sin over good things, like memorizing Scripture. But any sin that's exposed was just sin that needed to be exposed, so I can repent of it. It's not a reason not to memorize Scripture, although I will admit there was a time I didn't memorize Scripture because I thought I would just be prideful. That is twisted, sinful thinking right there. Don't use that excuse. What about learning the reference? Is that especially hard? Yeah, that can be a real challenge. How about the temptation to perfectionism? It just feels like a failure because you don't have it perfect. And so you get discouraged and want to give up. Motivation? Maybe. laziness? Can that be a hindrance? Distractions? It's easier to look at social media or games or shopping or news or the weather than it is to open up your Bible app and start working on memorizing a verse. We just like easy, don't we? I think in broad categories, if we're going to try to categorize some of the things that can challenge us in scripture memory, there are certainly just things that are just sin, just laziness, pride, and if that's a hindrance, if there's sin that's hindering us in memorizing scripture, we just need to go to the gospel. We need to go to the Lord. We need to remember the gospel, what Christ did at the cross to die for our sin and to set us free from it, and just take repentance seriously of the sins that would hinder us in memorizing scripture. And then another broad category of hindrances are just the practical. Like, when do I actually fit it into my life? Or how do I actually do it? How do I review things so that I can remember new verses and old verses and not forget them? And then there's the issue of maybe we could kind of group together skills and ability. You know, sometimes you're just like, I'm just not good at this. And that can be because we never have really learned how. We just never have really learned how to memorize very well. Different people's minds work differently and are able to absorb things and remember things in different ways and to a different degree. And in response to that, we'll talk about some of the plans and tools that can help us. But regarding ability, I want to encourage you that we're only responsible to use the ability we have, not the ability we don't have. That's not a reason not to try. As we try, our ability will probably grow. And it's also true, something I've realized as I've been preparing this, is that there's really different phases and aspects of scripture memory. There's the verses that you're really working on learning. And you learn things from that process of trying to memorize a verse that you, at least for me, I don't learn any other way. Because I'm really focusing hard on exactly, wait, what was the word? What order are the words in? And who actually did that action? And I'm thinking so closely about the details because I want to know every single word. And so even if I really am struggling to learn, get a verse down, word perfect, I'm learning so much by trying. And we need to recognize there's so much value in the trying. So what's lost if it takes a long time, if it takes weeks to master a verse? Have you really, isn't there gain in that? Isn't there benefit in that? If you're working on really trying to understand a verse and remember every single word in it, and you are working on that every single day, and a month later you still don't have it quite perfect, you still learned a whole lot. You've thought a lot about God's word. And there's value in that. So recognize the value in the process, even if you feel like you're really bad at it and you're really slow. There's another aspect is once you have learned verses, with the review, when you have a review system, that almost becomes like your own little personal heart shepherding library, because the verses that are in there, you've learned them at various times for various reasons, and it's kind of like your own little history of like, oh yeah, I remember when I decided to learn those verses because so-and-so sent those to me when I was going through XYZ, and oh, those verses are still so encouraging. And maybe I know those verses well enough to pull them out of thin air. Maybe they come to mind in a certain context when I'm having a conversation and they're helpful. Sometimes I can't. they're just not there right now. But when I go back and review it, like, oh yeah, I love that verse. That truth is so good. I can worship God for what that says. Other passages are in there so well that I can meditate on them, and they're just there, and I can think about them when I'm cleaning the house or driving down the road. So when you think about scripture memory, at least for me personally, it's not the case that every verse I've ever memorized I know well enough that I can call out of thin air with the reference all the time. But you know different verses to a different degree and in different ways, and they are helpful in all those different ways, even the ones you're still working on trying to learn. So I hope that that's helpful in kind of thinking about some of the challenges. Anything else about challenges you want to talk about? forgetting to apply. Thank you. I wish I brought that out, because she's exactly right. We just got done saying that memorizing is not the same as letting it richly dwell within you, right? It's not the same as obeying it. So yeah, just because we've memorized it, we need to be diligent to turn the corner and apply it. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you, Abby. Okay. I think we're good. Thanks, Kate. All right. Well, let's move on to the what. What might you memorize when you come to Scripture? Go ahead and share. A verse? The context of the verse. So maybe you might want to learn. I would say if you're memorizing individual verses, you do want to be familiar with the context. You might choose to memorize the context and memorize the passage. What else might you memorize if you decide, I want to start memorizing Scripture? What kinds of verses? Maybe you want to memorize verses organized around a topic. I really want to know the character of God. I'm going to memorize verses about God's character. I want to be better prepared to share the gospel. I'm going to memorize verses that help me share the gospel. I want to be more prepared to fight my sin. I'm going to memorize verses that help me fight my sin. I get really discouraged and want to give up when I stumble in sin. Maybe I need to memorize verses about the gospel and what Christ has done for me to set me free from my sin. There's a lot of different ways you might approach memorizing verses. You might memorize passages. You might decide you want to memorize chapters or books, Old Testament, New Testament. Another way you might find yourself memorizing Scripture is just by coming to God's Word and interacting with God's Word. Maybe you've had the experience, and hopefully this is a regular experience. You're coming to God not just to read your Bible, not just to check off the boxes, but because you want to draw near to God. You want to behold what He has breathed out to build us up, to sanctify us. And you come and His Word is impacting your heart, especially at times when we're especially aware of our need, or especially filled with a particular reason why we are just full of praise to God. We may open up our Bible and a verse jumps off the page and it almost just seems like it sticks there without ever having tried to memorize it. When I was really broken over sin at one point and I turned to Psalm 51, I was just really new to the faith, and I discovered Psalm 51 where David was confessing his sin. And the words when he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." I don't have that verse in my app as one I review, but I know that verse is in Psalm 51 because it was so impactful. And so I bring that out because it's not the kind of systematic review that we probably are thinking about when we say, "I want to memorize Scripture." But don't miss how God will just plant His Word on your heart in that way at times. And that's precious. That's a treasure. Sometimes people ask, "Well, what translation should I use?" A good one. It's helpful. Of course, it sort of goes without saying it's helpful to maybe stick with one translation. It's also, I have just found over many, many years that, you know, you're in and out of, you know, different versions kind of are more popular at one time than another, or you're in a ministry, or you're doing it with your children, or they're in a school, or you're using a resource, and you're going to find that different versions are used, and that's okay. I've got some passages memorized where I've got the first five verses in one translation, and the rest of it's in another translation, and it used to bother me, It's still God's word. So I just would encourage you, don't get hung up about this. Don't make this a perfectionism project. Just recognize this is a treasure. This is sweeter than honey. It is more precious than gold. And so, yes, you talk about should you memorize verses? Sure. Paragraphs? Yes. Chapters? Okay. Whole books? Go for it. It's all good. It's all valuable. And if you try and you do badly at it, will you still benefit? Yep. So I think that we sometimes, especially, we bring into life this I'm a kid in school mentality, and we don't want to do anything that we don't get a good grade in. And I'm not going to get a good grade in this because I'm not good at it, so I don't want to do it. Just really prayerfully set that aside and recognize that this is an eternal investment in your walk with the Lord and in the lives of those around you. That you just can have the Word of God richly dwelling within you. You can speak to one another with God's Word. You can speak to your own heart with God's Word. And I would just say the biggest thing in terms of, another thing is, what if you forget about it after you memorize it? I was actually really surprised. I was asking one of our pastors, I'm going to teach a breakout session on scripture memory. What do you want me to say? Thinking he'd just tell me what to say. He's like, yes, do it. Yes, memorize scripture. And I said, well, what about review? And he's like, okay, yeah, you can do that. The point is that even if you memorize, he was talking about when he's preparing to preach, he more or less memorizes everything he preaches because he's so soaked in it. Now, does he systematically try to review everything he's ever preached so that he can off the top of his head recite every verse he's ever preached on? No. But while he's studying it, he's got it memorized. And that's valuable. God's word is richly dwelling within him. So do you have to have a review system? You don't have to. Now, for me personally, scripture memory has become a much more maintainable discipline by having a plan. I was talking to some ladies earlier. I really like having a plan that allows me to fail, that I can get back to. I think for a long time I had this idea that, well, if I've got this plan, man, I've got to be on it. You're just going. But boy, if I drop that ball, it's kind of like, oh man, it just feels like starting over again. I can't stay on top of it. I have a system now that right now I just have had a season where I have not been consistent, but I know right where to pick up again. I can jump right in, and if there's verses that I'm not remembering well, I know how to change my review, so I'm reviewing them more often, so I get them back into longer term memory. So it's super helpful for me to have a system where I'm reviewing, and I want to be able to keep reviewing them and not forget them. But be careful not to put a bunch of rules on yourself or other people. Just remember what the goal is, and that is to let God's word have its way in your heart to accomplish what God wants to do in you. So how do you memorize scripture? Well, first of all, the only thing you really have to have is a Bible. There are tons of tools that are helpful. I love tools. But even as I was preparing for this, one of the resources I've listed for you, it was a man who decided he wants to memorize the New Testament. Because he lives in Asia. He found himself in prison in China. And he ended up only being in prison for 8 hours. But during those 8 hours, he realized he was not at all satisfied with the degree to which he knew God's word. He was not prepared to be in prison without a copy of the Bible and without his phone and an app or anything like that. So he really wants to memorize God's word and not be dependent on tools and apps and things like that. So that's why I wanted to start by saying all you really have to have is a Bible, and you can hide it in your heart. What to memorize? Pick something. You can pick. I've got some things for you to look at if you're interested. I started getting most consistent. We'll talk more about what these resources are, but when our kids were in Christian school, they had a scripture memory system that had that they, I just decided I should be memorizing along with them. I didn't want them to know more than I did. That's a good kind of competition. For example, so here, this is the topic of all the verses on this part is repentance. So they were memorizing 12 verses on repentance. And so you could memorize by a topic like that. Like I said, you can memorize a chapter, a verse. I would just say start small, probably is less discouraging. And pick something. All of God's word is breathed out. All of it is living and active. All of it is powerful. But I would encourage you to focus on something you want to memorize more than something you feel like you should memorize. I mean, all of it's good. And so on one level, you could memorize absolutely anything in God's word and it will be fruitful in your life. But it's easier to stay on top of it if it's something that you personally are finding helpful. You know, maybe memorize your favorite psalm or something like that. Super helpful to work on it every day. Have a system where your aim is at least to work on it for a few minutes every day. It's helpful to have a time when you're going to do that. And similarly to prayer, in scripture we have commands that talk to us about being devoted to prayer, keeping alertness. You know, you have this idea that you're just at this, you know, going into your prayer closet and it's just you and the Lord. But then there's also commands to pray without ceasing. And scripture memory is really benefits from both of those kinds of things as well. The time alone where it's just you and you're giving it all your attention to either review or to learn new verses, but then also incorporating it into your life, like Abby said, so you're actually applying it, you're meditating on it, you're worshiping God for what it says, you're reviewing it. So both of those are really helpful. Find, like I said, again, if you would find it helpful to have a way to keep on, you want to not forget verses after you've memorized them, you want a way to keep reviewing them and still learn new verses, adopt some kind of a review system. We'll talk about some of those. So those are just kind of some general how-tos. So now go ahead and turn over in your notes. Under additional resources, I should have mentioned this already, but the first page is just a bunch of verses. A lot of those are things we talked about. If you feel like you need to be strengthened in your motivation to memorize God's word, and you need to understand better what God's word says about itself and how you need to be interacting with God's word that would help motivate you and grow your desire to memorize scripture, I encourage you to, you know, maybe every day look up one of these verses and just pray about it and ask God to confirm your desire and your view of scripture to be the same as his, what he says about it. And then under methods, there's a few notes here, kind of my disclaimers. First of all, maybe some of you have heard Ann Engsted talk before about the difference between a principle and a method. They're not the same. The principles are things that don't change. And I always love Ann's example. The principle is that mothers should feed their babies. The method, how you do that, there's lots of choices, right? You can give them formula, you can breastfeed them. In the old days, you could get a wet nurse. You have lots of freedom and choices in how you feed your baby. But the principle is you need to feed your baby. And so here, God's word is really precious, and it's really desirable. And the believer needs to know it well enough to let it richly dwell within them, to be able to meditate on it. But how you do that, there is just tons of freedom. And it's really tempting sometimes when we find a method that we love to think everybody should do it this way because it's so great. And I can be that way about things because we get excited and we want other people to be blessed by things that we've been blessed with. But just bring enough measure to that to make sure you're not ever making somebody else feel like you're putting them under some kind of rule, like their walk with the Lord just isn't just not good as yours because they don't have a memory box or they don't have their cards or something. It's just not a competitive sport. It's a place where God calls us to come and drink deeply of what he's given us. So methods, there's some tools here, but they're just tools. And as Abby pointed out, the memorization itself is only a means to an end. And then also be discerning of the resources I put on the list. There's some great tools, but this isn't an endorsement of everything about these websites or people or organizations that are there. And then just generally speaking, before choosing a resource, you're going to want to evaluate things like what Bible translations do they have available, and do they have all of the scripture available or just portions of it? What kind of tools do they use to help you learn new verses? What kind of review systems do they include? What kind of devices? Is it a paper? Is it on a device? Can you sync across devices? Can multiple members of a family share it? And then just personally, do you have good strategies for filtering out distractions that come with electronics before you commit to an electronic system? If you don't, if you know you're weak, if you know you pick up your device and you've got your go-to distractions that you love to waste time on, don't pick an electronic system. Just don't subject yourself to that. Work on the self-control with the device before you decide to use that for your scripture memory, because you don't have to have that. And there are so many options available. I'm highlighting a few here. The ones with asterisks are ones that I have personal experience with. The other ones are ones that I felt like just offered other unique tools that you might find helpful. Any questions? All right. So the first one, I'll spend a little bit more time here. But you see there listed, it says, go to the Bible. I already said, you really don't need anything other than your Bible. Scripture. The next one is the Charlotte Mason Review System. When I got it, I didn't know that's what it was called, but when I looked it up online, that's what it's called, and that's what the website is, so that's why I called it that. This is Krista Hetzler's. But it's a review system, and, well, I don't even need to show you, but yeah. I want to show you because look how well-worn it is. Isn't that great? This is a system that has worked long-term for somebody, because you can see how worn out it is. But this system, I've adapted a box to using the same system on an app now. But you have a tab, a section of verses you review every day. It's called your daily tab. And then you have an even and an odd tab, so on even days of the month to the second, the fourth, the sixth, and so forth. You review those verses. Your odd tab, you review all the verses in your odd tab on odd days of the month. Then you have a tab for each day of the week. This is all spelled out at this link, but I'm going to explain this one in a little bit more detail. You have a tab for each day of the week. So on Monday, you review the verses in your Monday slot and so forth. And then you have 1 through 30. So on that day of the month, on the first of the month, you review the verses in the one tab. And so you start by learning a verse, you're reviewing it every day, you're working on learning it, it's in your daily tab. When you know it well enough that you think, I'm ready to try reviewing it every other day, see if I still can remember it, then you move it to either even or odd. And you start reviewing it every other day, and then you start working on a new verse every day in the daily tab. And you just keep doing that. Okay, now I know that every other day verse. I've been doing that for a few months. I think I know it well enough. I'm going to try reviewing it every week now. So it goes to one of the weekly slots. And at any point you're going through that, you think, okay, I've got it in my Friday. And I get there and I'm like, I have no idea what that verse is. It's gone. Well, great. Just move it back up to your daily or your every other day, because there's value in continuing to work on it, right? Every single time you work to put that word in your heart and in your mind, it's got an opportunity to work on how you think and your worship and what you believe, and just a chance to abide with the Lord in that. So just personally, this has just really been helpful. Like I said, if I'm away from it for a few days or a week, sometimes a month, I can come back and I can just pick up where I left off. And when I come to verses that, I was reviewing that every month, and I knew it when I reviewed it every month, but now it's been 2 months, I don't have it. Well, I can move it up and start reviewing it every week again for a while until I've got it down well, and then I can move it back. So it just gives you the, it just gives you a system for adjusting based on how well you remember something. Does anybody want to talk about that more or have any questions about that?
Did they kind of spell that out on the website?
Yeah, there's even a little video where the lady kind of walks through how you would go about setting that up. The other nice thing about that is that I might go through seasons where I'm not adding any new verses, but I can still, you know, on a given day I review either the even or odd verses, the day of the week verses, and the day of the month verses. If I had one card in each of those, that would be three verses to review. So it's not a huge time commitment. So personally, that's the review system that has been helpful for me. Now, a couple other ones that I read as I was researching. Every day for 7 weeks, and then every week for 7 months, review a verse to get into long-term memory. That was one system I saw. Another system I saw said every day for 100 days. That's 3 months. I found a system that works for me, so I don't need to try to find any other ones. But if that doesn't work for you, if you don't like the idea of an index box, or it just seems too confusing, you can Google how to get information into your long-term memory. So that's what's been helpful for me. MemLock, that's what this is that my kids use. This is now available as an app. I think you can get a free download to kind of sample it. To get the full app, it costs something. It's not, I don't remember what it is. It's not the cheapest app. But this, what this makes use of, and this is another thing that's been really helpful for me to be, to persevere, to keep memorizing scripture, this idea of a picture and a topic, because the reference is not on this side of the card, so I actually have to learn the reference too. It's not like the reference is on one side and the verse is on the other. And the pictures, they call them a visual mnemonic. So it's just a little picture clue. A lot of times it's something kind of silly or absurd, but there's something that's helpful about that, because the part of your brain where your long-term memory is also the same part of your brain, the same side of your brain where there's creativity and visual memory and emotion. And so if you attach something that kind of makes you chuckle when you see it, or that, like I said, it has something visual with it, for some people, that just is like a little hook that just helps it get into long-term. It's like putting it straight into long-term memory instead of a more traditional memorization where I'm going to just read it over and over and over and keep trying to see if I have it down. And then I have to get it from short-term memory to long-term memory. This is just a memorization tool that helps get it into long-term memory more directly. And there are a few other memory techniques that make use of pictures. But that, I'm not an artist, but I still often, especially if I'm struggling with learning a verse, I'll say, you know what, I need to make a picture for this one. And it can be something silly, and it doesn't have to be artistic, you know, pretty. But that is just a tool that helps your brain learn it in a different part of the brain. The Bible Memory app is the app that I have adapted the memory box to. I use the same review system, but it just, I just realized what motivated me is when I travel, I started getting really fearful of losing my verses, thinking, I won't know what verses I have memorized if I lose my cards. Which is kind of silly because I'm supposed to have it memorized. but I still need them there to remind myself, what verses do I know? So that's kind of what motivated me to switch to something electronic. And again, I think there's a free version, but then the paid version is a one-time fee. I personally am just cheap. I don't like paying for things where you have to keep paying for them. So, like, for me, it's kind of a non-starter if there's a monthly or an annual fee for something, but that's up to you. So, Bible Memory Kids is an app that same organization put out that I think it's fairly new. They don't have very many passages available, but I really like that they make use of pictures. So, you know, I don't know why they only do that for kids. They need to do it for the adults too. The Bible Memory app, at least on the iPad, will allow you to add pictures. So that's kind of a nice thing about that one. The Fighterverse app is a really popular app. I think a lot of people at Grace Bible use that or have used that. It's put out by Kids Desiring God. And then I put this resource in about this PDF. It's called An Approach to Extended Memorization of Scripture. And it's like only 28 pages, but the thing I like about it is he starts with why we'd want to memorize Scripture, and he just talks about what Scripture says about Scripture as an encouragement. But this is a pastor who's memorized 43 books of the Bible. And so he just describes how he does it, and it's actually not complicated. Yeah. I was a little skeptical because I don't typically add verses very quickly. I just try to make sure I'm still remembering, and then I add verses when I find verses I want to add. But I decided, just because I was doing this, like, I'm going to try his method. And I've only been working on it for like a week and a half, but I've been surprised at how much scripture I've memorized just by doing what he suggests. So in a nutshell, he says when you're working on a new verse, you read it, you look at every single word and read it out loud 10 times, and then you recite it 10 times, and then you say it, you know, cumulatively. If you're memorizing a chapter, you say everything up to that, and then the next day you review that verse, you say the whole passage again, and then you do the next verse the same way. Read it, look at every word out loud, say it out loud 10 times, recite it out loud 10 times. And I've actually, I mean, it seems kind of like so simple, like, nah, it's not going to work. It actually works. Or at least, I mean, not perfectly, but I've been amazed. I'm memorizing more scripture than I was without that. So anyway, it's another tool to put in your tool belt. You can use it if you want to. It might not be your thing. I also discovered this website called scripturememory.com. It's an organization called Scripture Memory Fellowship. They've got some cool tools on there. One I want to highlight is called Sword Grip. It's like three volumes, but it takes you through the whole Bible, where you're memorizing something from every book of the Bible, and as you do, you're learning where that Bible occurred in history and kind of the theme of that book. So I think that would be really helpful. They also have a couple of apps, and these books are from them. This one, and what I really appreciate, this is one they've designed for like 0 to 2 year olds, and this is like maybe 3 and 4 year olds, 3 to 5 year olds, something like that. But they have really sweet instructions for how to start introducing even babies to scripture memory. Like, just let them look at the picture and read them the verse just once a day. Just read the same verse. Just keep reading the same one for like a month. You know, just like really sweet, really gentle, but just letting their little hearts be saturated with truth. So like I said, I don't know everything there is to know about these organizations. There may be some things there that you wouldn't want, but the things I saw, I thought looked like some really helpful tools. Bible verses set to music are another great way to memorize scripture. There's some, again, some ones to try here. You can also just Google or go to YouTube and search for the translation you want and the reference you want and see what's out there. Sometimes you'll find them. There's some out there that are just not particularly beautiful music, but that's up to you. Some people who really love music might like find that really abrasive. I can't listen to that. But some of them are really, really nice. A couple of these you'll find they've actually set whole chapters to music. There's one on here that it's goofy. They've got little silly reenactments going on with the music. But the people who did it because they wanted to help their kids hide God's word in their heart. They said their 2-year-old can recite the whole book of James just by watching these videos. Haven't tried it, but it's just cool that there's these resources out there. You know, again, and like I just am so glad what Abby said. Not because the end-all and be-all is just memorizing, but if you do have it memorized, then you do have it available to think about, to meditate, to obey, to encourage one another, to renew your mind. And then this last one is the one I told you about, the guy who wants to memorize the whole New Testament. And so he really just started this website, and he has podcasts and YouTube videos and things about scripture memory because he wants to memorize the New Testament. And he, one thing that was unique about his is that he has made use of some memory tools. I've never done this. There's something called a memory palace. Maybe some of you guys have heard of it. But it's just a way of organizing things you're memorizing by thinking about a place, a room, or a house, or something that you're really familiar with. And that what he has found is it helps him memorize to retain more faster, longer, because he's got it hooked with like visual images and things like that. But he said it's not easier. Like, memorizing scripture is just not easy. But in his case, when he specifically has a goal of memorizing such a great amount, he felt like he needed tools that were going to help him accomplish that maybe more efficiently on like a mental level. So if that kind of thing is intriguing to you, and you want to put the effort into learning how to use some of those tools, that he's got some resources there. I think we're supposed to be done like in another 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and I can let you be done early, but I would just love to maybe talk, questions, things like you came in here hoping we'd talk about something we haven't talked about yet, or questions you have about things we have talked about. What should I do if, ... We're all friends here, so go ahead and share what's on your mind. Everybody ready to go home and memorize scripture?
What's the app that you use, Bible Memory?
It's just called the Bible Memory app. Yeah. I should have. It does have a website, but I think if you just Google Bible Memory app, or if you come up afterwards, I can show you what the little thing on my phone looks like. Have you all used other tools that you've found helpful? Back in the old days, the topical memory system was, from the Navigators, was a popular memory tool that you might have used. Those were great.
How often are you able to pull specific verses out? Like, how? As long as you've been working on it, like, are you able to think of verses every time you're talking to somebody?
So her question was, how often am I able to pull verses out when, like, I'm having a conversation?
Yeah.
I say, you know, we don't want to presume upon the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so kind, and he dwells within us, and he's the one who breathed out the word to begin with, and so many, many times in conversation, or, you know, when we're in core questions, or we're in a Wellspring discussion group, or we just need to counsel our own hearts, and we stop and think, well, wait, what does God's word say about that? Many times the Holy Spirit will bring verses that I've memorized back to mind. Now, sometimes I've got it word perfect, and I've got the reference, and it's right there, and sometimes I don't, but there's enough of it there that I can find it. And I think the familiarity of just continuing to review everything I have memorized, I review at least once a month. And that seems to keep it kind of in that familiarity category, that even if I can't call every word, I can get to it.
Yeah. Sarah, I've used an app called Bible Memory Verse Locker, and it lets you play four different kind of games with the verses. So it'll take one word away, and then you try to fill in the blank, and then it takes another one away. Or it'll give you the first letter of each word. And it just uses a lot of different visual tricks, and it also does audio.
Oh, that's great.
That's been helpful for the first time around of learning the verse. And then it'll keep like a digital card file of all the ones you've learned, so you can pick how often you want to rotate that verse back through.
That's great. And Verse Locker is actually one of those that's on the list here. Yeah, it's under Scripture Memory Fellowship. Verse Locker is one of their apps. So there's a first-hand recommendation from somebody. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing, is you're trying, if you're just deciding on a tool, to evaluate what kinds of tools they have for helping you learn new verses and what kind of review system do they have. Those are things to look at. Yeah. Other things you found that are helpful? I will encourage this table over here. We all were once your age. And I can promise you that everybody in this room is wishing they had memorized more scripture when they were your age, because even though I've been memorizing scripture a long time, it keeps getting harder. My brain is just getting older. So, yeah, vigorous nodding. Other thing, I mean, I'm just going to point this out since we have the time, something Anne has shared. You guys have probably heard Anne share that she's got kind of her cheat sheet in the front of her Bible, go-to verses. You know, that's another way to, you know, I know that if I'm in a conversation, these 10 verses or these 20 verses, there's a good chance that these verses are going to cover something that comes up in that conversation. So even if you don't have that address for that verse stuck in your brain, you've got it right there in the cover of your Bible. It makes it easy to get to. So all these things, just remember the goal is to let God's word richly dwell within us. And so if that helps you, then do that.
You can set up the own verses, and then you can have folders.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that is my go-to gospel verses in it.
I'm
still trying to learn them all.
Mm-hmm.
But what's great is that you always take your phone with you, and that way you have it when the opportunity arises to share that with somebody. So if you get stuck, I mean, you know, right?
It's right there.
Where it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, that's one of the things I really love about that particular app is the files you can set up and even kind of cross-reference with topics and things like that. Yeah.
Which one is that?
The Bible Memory app. It's the one of them that's asterisked on the first page there.
It's cheap.
I can't remember. Is it like $5 or maybe it's $10?
Yeah,
forever?
Yeah, it's very inexpensive.
But then I've had it for quite a while, but I get ads all the time to get 20% off. So if you really want it, but you don't want to pay $10, then just wait until you get the 20% off and pay $8 for it. Anything else? Anybody else? Anybody just need to be encouraged? Are you feeling discouraged? Like, I've got so far to go. How come I didn't start sooner?
Start now.
Start now, right? Yeah.
Sarah, did you have any way you incorporated this into homeschooling? The goal of this year, and I'd love to hear with different ages, different processing levels.
Yeah.
As a group.
That's something I should have said before, is that can be a really great way to incorporate it into our own lives, is to do it with our children or other people, because there's a built-in accountability there. In our homeschooling, I think we use the Memlock. These are, like I said, it's now an app. You can still get cards if you really like physical cards. They've got those available in a couple of translations still. But they also, in the meantime, had a version that you could use like on a PC. So we did that because our kids, they were like yours. They were different ages and they'd already been memorizing scripture. There were some times when we tried memorizing scripture together, and that was great. But I feel like all the things we wish we'd done. If I had my little box when they were all two, you know, I just had these visions. We could have just been memorizing all these verses together and reviewing them. But I think we did a lot. We tried to keep it in front of ourselves. I would assign them to work on the Memlock. There were times where we would go through sets of verses on a topic together. We were in Bible study fellowship for a while, and so we would memorize those verses together. The thing I was most interested in that I just recently found was on here, the one I was mentioning from Scripture Memory Fellowship called Sword Grip, where you're memorizing a verse from every book of the Bible and you're familiarizing yourself with when that book of the Bible happened. I think that would be a great homeschool resource to explore. And that's set up to be adapted to different ages and abilities, where, you know, someone who's really quick on memorizing, they give them like 3 verses to memorize each week. And somebody else who, you know, your younger kids or whatever, they can just memorize the 1 verse. So I would take a look at that. That's the same organization that does the Verse Locker app. So again, just do it. Yes, do it together, or yes, let them all do it separate. Oh, and one more thing on that is that when I got my box and I found it super helpful, I made it for each of my kids so they could each do their own box.
With younger children who aren't believers, what did you do personally to kind of help them keep their pride in check about what they know?
The Awana method of robbing up their teeth by giving them candy for memorizing scripture. I think recognize that an unbeliever can't memorize with out of a love for God or a love for God's word, but it is God's word that's able to give them the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So I think it's just an opportunity to keep reminding them that every time they memorize something, that is God. God is helping you. God is the one who's enabling you to learn the truth that can give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. How kind of God. Just make much of God in it. And then if they're prideful, have them memorize verses on pride. I had someone tell me that, and I didn't heed him, and I should have. Anything else? Thanks for coming.